This is Rabbi Bert Vysotsky at the Jewish Theological Seminary, and I'm delighted to report to you today on what's new in the study of Agadah. In particular, in the field of Midrash Agadah, in my time here, which is going on 4 decades, there's been a notable shift in the way our colleagues study Midrash. And it's a shift that I think brings us into our own comfort zones as rabbis in a way that's useful and profound, not only to ourselves and our own neshamas, but also to our congregants. Back in the day, as I say, when I was a rabbinical student, just as an aside, I say that so frequently in class now that my rabbinical students drink shots every time I say that. But when I was a rabbinical student, we were all Wissenschaftes Judentums all the time, which meant that we actually read Midrash to try and glean from it that useful kernel of history so that we could write the authoritative history of rabbinic literature. This was, I suppose, good science. Actually, it was bad science, but I'll get back to that in a moment. But it didn't particularly help us preach the texts we were reading, which, after all, were Midrash Agadah, and one would like to think should therefore have some added value as texts that spoke to our souls. Over the decades, what has happened is that we have moved away, for a variety of reasons, from the historical critical approach. One of the major reasons we've moved away from it has been the work of our colleague Jacob Neusner. Jack and his students simply demonstrated the unreliability of Agadah as historic account. It isn't history, it's story. And as story, Midrash Agadah is didactic literature. Now, you probably all know that there are two forms of Agadah. There is Agadah that relates to characters in the Bible. In other words, it tells us stories about biblical characters, but the stories that it tells us are not stories that are found in the Tanakh. The parade example, one that we all know, is that famous story about Abraham's father, Terach, who was the guy who made idols, and how his young boy, chick Abraham, broke all the idols. As a scholar of Midrash, I was actually fascinated to know how, at what point in my life did I imbibe that wonderful, wonderful legend, which in fact is in Bereshit Rabbah at the end of Parashat Noach. If you like Palestinian Aramaic, it's told in beautiful Aramaic. It's fun to read. But I came to realize that I had actually learned it in Hebrew school, in my conservative Hebrew school growing up in Chicago, where I read it in a primer for learning Hebrew. The name of the book was called HaYehudi HaRishon. And there I learned, you know, the true story of Abraham, which obviously emphatically was neither history nor the true story of Abraham, but it was a useful fiction. When I got here, probably shortly after I got my PhD, it dawned on me that because I was at JTS, I could go to our library and find that book, which I did. And you can imagine my delight and surprise when I learned that the author of that book was a Hebrew school teacher back when, whose name was Shlomo Greenberg, also known as Simon Greenberg, who was then the vice chancellor of JTS. So if nothing else, telling Agadic stories, even if it may confuse little kids as to what's in the Tanakh and what's not, is probably good for your career. So continue to tell those stories. But in truth, after Jack Neusner kind of debunked the notion of history, I think there has been a strong move in the field of Agadah to restore the story value, the narrative value of how we read these didactic legends, how we read stories of the characters in the Bible, and frankly, how we read stories of the characters in rabbinic literature. Which is to say, if we're reading a story about Yochanan ben Zakkai, we're not reading biography. We're reading a rabbinic narrative among many, which supposes to tell us something about the founding of rabbinic Judaism. And once you take that attitude and read Yochanan as a character, or Shimon ben Yochai as a character, or Rabbi Akiva as a character, you can appreciate how the rabbis are using these narratives to transmit rabbinic ideology, how they're teaching us how to be good rabbis, how to be good rabbinic Jews, and what they imagine the pluses and minuses are. These narratives then become, as it were, our Jewish lives of the saints. Israel has been a very productive place for studies in this kind of narrative approach to rabbinic stories. And most notably, I'm going to mention three Israelis, one now emeritus at the Hebrew University, Yona Frankel. I suspect in the rabbinical assembly, there's a large number of chavra who have actually studied with Yona Frankel. He has a good dozen books out. The one that probably presses the approach most readily is his Olamo Haruchani Shel Sipur HaAgadah, the spiritual world of Agadic narrative, in which Frankel takes a good old-fashioned new criticism approach to simply taking a story, and he takes the story and only the story. No context, no outside. The story contains everything you need to know, and that's Frankel's approach. It's frankly what I learned when I was a freshman in college taking my first English literature class as well. Then it actually was new criticism. Now it's old criticism, but we still call it new. A colleague of Frankel's at the Hebrew University, Ofra Meir, also appreciated how the narrative is related to the rabbi's exegetical agenda, how they're trying to solve problems in the text by spinning a story. So she wrote a beautiful book called HaSipur HaDarshani BeVereshit Rabbah, in which she took on the narrative portions of Genesis Rabbah and how each story that's spun about a biblical character, in fact, also solves an exegetical problem. A third colleague, who is a young colleague, a junior colleague to me, still writing very much, his first book came out last year, and it was called HaSipur Shalosh Supar, and that's Joshua Levinson. He actually took a very interesting tech. He translates the title into English as a twice-told story, which is, I think, a nod to Nathaniel Hawthorne. But again, Levinson writes almost in a postmodern mode, but is doing just good old-fashioned new criticism and is a very, very keen reader of rabbinic texts. I want to introduce you to one of my students, one of our rabbinical assembly colleagues, and that's Jeffrey Rubenstein down at NYU. Jeffrey has been doing exquisite readings of rabbinic narrative, and I want to recommend two of his books, which you will find useful, one of which you'll find useful, another of which your congregants will also find useful. Jeff's earlier book, his scholarly work, is called Talmudic Stories, and in that book, and every rabbi really should be reading that book, it's a wonderful, wonderful approach to how to unpack rabbinic narrative. Jeff takes, a half dozen to a dozen rabbinic narrative stories about other rabbis, and unpacks them, famous, you know, things like the Oven of Ochnai, and gives you readings and gives you considerations of things that you simply have not thought of before, and will allow you to bring these stories to an adult ed audience in a really, really significant way. He also published a book called Rabbinic Stories, where he publishes the stories themselves, each with a brief literary introduction, which is a very, very useful collection for your adult ed classes. I want to end immodestly, because if I weren't immodest, it wouldn't be me, and talk about two books that I wrote. One, which I wrote 20 years ago now, is called Reading the Book, Making the Bible a Timeless Text. In that book, which is currently published by the Jewish Publication Society, I take on how the rabbis read about biblical characters, how they expand their narratives, how they do what Ofra Meir would call HaSipur HaDarshani, the exegetical narrative. And that book has been sufficiently appreciated by synagogue audiences that 20 years later it's still in print. But I also am very proud to say that my newest book just came out, literally this week, from Jewish Lights. It's called Sage Tales, Wisdom and Wonder from the Rabbis of the Talmud. In that book, I take on rabbinic narrative, stories by rabbis about rabbis. My joke about the book is you gossip about your rabbi. You wait 500 years. Then you have sacred literature. But that's actually not how it works. And if you've read a version or multiple versions of rabbinic stories about other rabbis, you know that they follow their own quirky rules. And you probably also know that these stories are sometimes opaque to our congregants. They may as well be reading Kafka stories. So in the book, I really try to focus on the mechanics, how these narratives work, and how you can unpack modern value from ancient stories. So I hope that kind of tour of what's out there in the literary approaches to Rabbinic Agadah cheers your month of Adar. I wish you all a good Chodesh and a happy Purim.